The state has lifted pandemic restrictions. This you know. But did you know that that includes for childcare centers? Public health officials are recommending that kids 5 or older wear their masks indoors, keep at least 3 feet of separation. But the mandate to do so is gone. That leaves many providers struggling with the decision of how to move forward safely, especially in an industry still trying to climb its way out of the pandemic. We're going to talk about that now, about the state of childcare in the Commonwealth as we fully reopen for business. And join us. Are you a parent with kids in early education and care? Have you noticed big changes this week? Are you going back to work and struggling to find a place for your child or children? Are you a childcare provider yourself navigating these issues? Call us, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or tweet us at Radio Boston. Two guests are joining us for this conversation. First, WBUR Edify editor Kathleen McNerney, who has been following the issue closely, and also Donna Danette, executive director of the Children First Center in Granby. Kathleen, welcome back.
Hi, Tiziana.
And Donna, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Kathleen, I'll turn to you first. What specifically changed in the state's guidance for childcare centers over the weekend?
Yeah, as you said, it's really shifted from a mandate to more of a suggestion. So during the pandemic, there were regulations put in place to focus on the health and safety, things like wearing masks, screening children at the door for any possible symptoms, staff ratios, making sure that you didn't have adults moving between different groups of children, that you were cohorting them to try to prevent the spread, increased hygiene practices. And now the state, in an email late Friday afternoon around 3:45 p.m., sent an email to the early education and care providers saying, starting tomorrow, all of these will be retired. Essentially rolled back.
Okay, but so I want to stop you there and get clear about that. So you're saying, despite the fact that there was more notice in general that the business restrictions were going to be lifted on Saturday, May 29th, this official word came down, what, 12 hours before it went into effect?
Yes, less than 12 hours. Yes, the Baker administration had announced on May 17th that these changes would be happening for other businesses on May 29th. So they had about 12 days notice to say, all right, any restrictions on businesses opening, they are lifted. So these changes, in one sense, are in line with that. But the providers that I talked to said they knew some changes would be coming soon as the state's vaccination rates increase, as more and more things open up, but they did not expect and were really surprised to get this email late on Friday afternoon on ahead of a 3-day weekend that, you know, less than 12 hours later, they would no longer be required. I will say, though, they do have, it is now up to the providers. They can decide if they want to keep those restrictions in place, those protocols in place, or if they want to roll it back. So in some senses, it gives the providers more flexibility to decide what's right for their community and their specific program.
So Donna, I'm going to turn to you, but I just want to put the number back out for our callers, 1-800-423-8255. Are you preparing to return to in-person work? Do you have childcare? Do you have kids in care now? And how are you reacting to these changes? Join the conversation. So Donna, I mean, there's a lot there. What are you going to do in your center? And did this catch you by surprise?
It was very abrupt. it was like flipping a switch. And we had eased staff and children and families into the protocols. And the way adults and children handle change is to really need to understand the why behind things. And I don't have the why behind this. I need explanation. I need the science and the data so that I can help explain any changes that we do implement. We're not implementing any changes yet. I sent a letter out Saturday morning to all my families saying, you know, we're going to move forward carefully and methodically with full transparency. But until I understand the why, I'm not changing anything quite yet.
So Donna, let us into your mind a little bit here. So this email pops up, end of the day on Friday. Where does your head go? Are you picturing some conversation you're going to have? Are you picturing a child who you think is going to be particularly benefit from having a mask off? Are you thinking, oh no, I got to tell my employee? I mean, where did your head go?
My head didn't even have time to go anywhere before my email and phone started blowing up. Folks who had already seen the email before I did were sending, sending out emails to the group talking about being shocked. And there was a sense that there was some sense of betrayal that we hadn't been given lead time, that the timing was really unfortunate for all of us, that we were going to have to spend our first break since February working on policies and answering questions. We've been really successful. We reopened July 1st. We've had 80 to 100 people, that's children and teachers, in the building every day. We've been incredibly successful by following these protocols. And I think that we really found a way to keep the joy of learning. We didn't really feel heavily impacted by the protocols in terms of the classroom environment. We certainly did in terms of our structure, our financial environment, our workforce environment has been challenged. But I knew that there were going to be families who have kept their children home and are only now beginning to feel some sense of safety to return their children to our early learning center, that were going to be just set back by this announcement. And those were the families that I heard from first, the one saying, wait. I thought I found a place to feel safe, and now I don't feel safe again.
And listeners, is that you? Will this change in the mandates, or frankly, the lack of mandates, the discretionary approach, change your approach to childcare as you prepare to, if you're going back to in-person work, do so? 1-800-423-8255. What will make you feel safe? So Kathleen, how does this, we just heard a lot from Donna. Is that consistent with what you've been hearing from other childcare providers you're speaking to?
It is. And, Donna is part of a group of childcare providers that participate in a call every 9:30 every weekday. And I think they've, from my understanding, they've been processing this information. No one that I've talked to has said that they are flipping the switch. One provider, Mary Kinsella Scannell of the Boys and Girls Club in Dorchester, said they're pumping the brakes, talking to the community and the teachers to figure out what is best. And she was grateful that over the past year, they've had, they've built up such good communication with the community. I spoke with another provider, Giselle Pierre in Randolph. She cares for 5 children in her home. All but one of them received state vouchers. And she said for her, in her opinion, it's too soon. Her mom and her sister both got COVID-19. Her mother was hospitalized. They both thankfully came out of it and are well now. But Giselle is worried. And she told me of one parent, and unfortunately the sound, it was a phone tape, so I can't play for you on the radio. It's just too hard to hear. But she told me of one parent who isn't planning on getting vaccinated and doesn't wear a mask when he's out in the world running errands. He wears a mask at drop-off and pickup out of respect for her, as he put it. And she shows, so she's talking to him about, no, you have to do this to protect your community. So even though vaccination rates for adults are going up, they're, children under 12 cannot get vaccinated. And mm-hmm. So I think there is a hesitation, or as Donna said, challenge understanding the thinking behind this, particularly as children who are in elementary and secondary education still have to, they are required to wear masks indoors. And now the state is not requiring it, but for children who are in early education. So I think that it's just confusing for providers to wrap their heads around why this change is happening and what the safe thing is. Laura Peril, yep. The former Boston Public Schools superintendent and now CEO of Nurturee, says She's likely to let kids and staff take off masks outdoors, but she worries that the new state guidelines could put providers in a tough spot.
I can imagine situations where there will be staff or family members who disagree with, you know, a program, whether they're being too conservative or not conservative enough, and that will create real pressure on, you know, an individual family childcare provider, a center, a director, you know, to have to explain, defend, and respond when all we're trying to do is follow what we think is the safest and best guidance.
I will say,
Sorry, Tiziana,
I just wanted to really underscore, though, every single provider I talked to said that they really appreciate Early Education and Care Commissioner Sam Eigner-Triwerge and have felt that she has been really supportive. It's just the guidance from the Baker administration felt very abrupt. And as Donna said, that they would have liked more lead time to sort of process.
So Donna, let me turn back to you. You know, in my first question to you, you talked about what you need to know so that you can tell parents. What do you need to hear from the state? And what will it take for you to feel like it's safe to remove the restrictions in your center?
Well, Kathleen alluded to one question. Why is it unsafe for children in kindergarten through 12th grade to be unmasked, but it's safe for our children to be unmasked? So where's the science that says that? It might exist. I just want to see it so that I can reassure folks who are feeling nervous. I want to know what's behind it so that I can, people put their trust in me and I need to be able to have the data that deserves the trust to make the decisions. And this has been so politicized in so many ways. So there's people who feel very strongly on both ends of the spectrum in every community. And here we sit as providers making decisions that need to walk this very fine line between the two extremes and run our programs and make sure that no one gets sick.
Let me go to the phones here, 1-800-423-8255. Ian's on the line in Dorchester. Ian, go ahead.
Hi. I'll be real quick. So, in my opinion, one of the biggest issues with the pandemic that really made it worse and worse is that there was a general distrust of scientific officials and what the government was telling you to do. So, you know, the anti-maskers, anti-vaxxers. But now that they're saying it's okay to go ahead with things as normal, there's a similar distrust sentiment with the opposite result that I feel like might actually exacerbate, the distrust in general of the government and scientific community like CDC.
So, Ian, are you saying there's distrust now that the CDC has it right about taking the masks off and reducing social distancing?
Right. Yeah, I've seen people just as dismissive of that as, say, anti-maskers were of mask mandates in the beginning of the pandemic. And so I feel like it's sort of the same problem playing out in the opposite symptom.
Appreciate that call. Kathleen, what about that? What about sort of the state of the scientific information, how it's playing out through Massachusetts policy and how that's playing in the world of early education and care?
Well, I think there's just questions. And I think it sounds, like Donna said, that some of it is just help us understand the reasoning that went into this, right? I asked the state Department of Early Education and Care if the commissioner was available. She wasn't available to speak. They did say that they're going to support programs. I just got an email 20 minutes ago that they will continue to distribute PPE, cleaning products, et cetera, through the end of the summer, at which point we will reevaluate our approach based on need, end quote. I think that this is this transitional period. My understanding, not an epidemiologist here, but my understanding is that, you know, children are at very low risk of getting seriously ill from COVID. but I think that there are concerns abroad about the variants that appear to be more transmissible between children and what that could mean here. And just, I think psychologically, it's challenging to, it's just stressful. You know, we worked so hard over the last year to put in these protocols, and it's stressful to think about how to move away from them.
So Kathleen, you raised this point about stress, and I want to use it to pivot to another subject I want to talk to the two of you about. And Donna, I'll turn to you first, just in our last couple of minutes. There's also this question about capacity. Is the childcare industry back? Is it back at full enough capacity to handle the demand that's coming as we reopen? Is your program full? And what are you hearing through your networks about the stress test of this return to some new normal?
Yeah, we are absolutely not ready to go back to capacity. Absolutely not. You know, we when we reopened in July, we were at 50% capacity because of the regulations. We then were able to move up to about 67% capacity. I don't think that teachers who have been under the stress of this past year are ready to go from two teachers with 10 kids to two teachers with 20 kids, putting 20 potentially unmasked children back in a classroom after everything that everybody's been through. Beyond that, our field is in a real workforce crisis, as many fields are. Low-paying fields are really struggling to attract and retain the workforce. And so I know, although we're not in that position really quite yet, I am limiting some of my slots, both because of staffing and because of my unwillingness to go back up to the high numbers yet. But I know that many, many providers across the state have rooms and wait lists and no teachers to teach the children. And so the workforce piece is underlying this.
And Kathleen McNerney, back to you, sort of lightning round on this. What are the big issues to getting back to capacity? What do we know?
What we know and what I've heard is staffing remains a big one. I think the other is the shift in the market. What kind of care do parents need? What do they feel comfortable with? We've seen what some have termed a she session of a lot of women dropping out or being forced out, depending on the perspective of the workforce. There's a lot that's unknown. Where people will need care. Do they feel more comfortable with an in-home family child care provider? And a lot of those questions, you know, that we have a couple of legislative commissions that are looking at these issues and trying to understand both the shifts in the market, the shifts in families, the need. But this was, the child care sector was fragmented and under-supported before the pandemic. And now this has really strained and stretched it, or as one provider put it to me, put us on the brink.
Well, on that note, WBUR Edify editor Kathleen McNerney and Donna Dinette, executive director of the Children First Center in Granby. A lot there. I appreciate you both joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take good care.